Hi, this is Jean-Jacques Taylor, and you're listening to Jock Talk. This is a podcast where I talk about the Cowboys, the team I've covered as a beat writer, columnist, TV insider, and radio host for 28 years. I'll also talk about the NFL and the things I love, working out, streaming, food, and all things Dallas. My boy Big Joe and the Big Rig, one of my oldest friends, produces the show and occasionally chimes in with his thoughts on the Cowboys. After all, he's a lifelong Cowboys fan, and he played high school, college, and semi-pro football. Welcome to Jock Talk, where sports is fluid. What's true today might not be true an hour, a day, or a month from now. I'm going to give you the truth straight. No chaser. Glad to have you aboard. Let's get it. Welcome, my friends, to episode 104 of Jock Talk. I'm Jean-Jacques Taylor, joined by my boy Big Joe and the Big Red. What, my friend, is a sit rep?
Let's see. We are 52 seconds in, and we are 5x5.
Well, I'm certainly glad to hear that on this glorious Thursday morning. Remember, as I like to remind y'all, this is episode 104. And in this case, four to me can only be Dak Prescott. Is there somebody else?
No, I thought Steve Walsh wore either three or four. But, yeah, it's definitely Dak Prescott.
Yeah, it's not really much of a conversation on that. Dak Prescott is the man. He is a terrific dude. Really terrific dude. Pretty good quarterback. Really good quarterback. Not great, but really good. At some point, he'll get a contract done here or somewhere else. But that, my friends, is a topic for another day. Right now, I always like to remind y'all, especially on a day like today, where it's supposed to be thunderstorms and rainy weather and wet roads. And, you know, this is Texas. So, if you're involved in an accident, somebody else's negligence has caused you some harm, what you got to do, my friends, is pick up the phone and call 972-934-8900 and just say, hey, here's my situation. What do you think? That's literally all you have to do. And that call, to give them your situation, give them your sit report, nah, doesn't cost you anything. And let me be the first to tell you, if Greening Law brings you on as a client, it has been a heck of a day for you, real talk, because in these situations, they literally handle everything. If you need a doctor, they got a doctor for you. They'll find one for you, set up an appointment. All you do is show up and go. If you need a specialist, they'll find a specialist for you. They'll set up an appointment. All you do is show up and go. They literally handle everything so that, you know, all you got to focus on is healing and renewal. Because as I like to say, get your mind right, get your body right, then get your life back. And that's what's most important to Greening Law. And to do that, they work the process for you. Because when you're going up against somebody else's insurance company, if you didn't know or you haven't done it, first off, the things take all day. I mean, they take a while. It's a process. And if you haven't done it, it can be an intimidating process, a scary process, in addition to being lengthy. It can be a lot of anxiety within it. And they do everything in their power to ease all of that for you so you can really focus on the healing and renewal and getting your mind right and your body right and getting your life back. And so all you got to do really is follow the instructions, because Greening Law will tell you when to walk, when to run, when to crawl, when to sit, when to stand, all of that stuff, when to turn left, when to turn right, when to go forward, when to pull back. They tell you everything. All you got to do is follow the instructions. If you don't believe me, go to the website and check it out. Real talk. Lots of testimonials from clients that they've helped. You can see for yourself all the different awards that Robert Greening has won for being one of Dallas's best attorneys. He is that dude. I don't know if he likes for me to say it. He can't be that 12-letter cuss word. Okay? But that's Robert Greening and the Green Team. They do the awards say the job that they do. Give them an opportunity, 972-934-8900. If you're ever involved in an accident, somebody else's negligence, workplace, medical malpractice, whatever it may be, somebody else's negligence has caused you some harm, call Robert Greening and the Green Team and let them go to work for you. Your Dallas Mavericks, you know what? I'm going to say this today. Sometimes I don't say it because I think people get tired of hearing me say it. I don't know if I should let that influence me, but sometimes it does, dog. I'm going to say it today. I just thought people overreacted so much to the lost Oklahoma City the other day that made it a 2-2 series and 3-2 going back to to Oklahoma City. And here's what I mean. If you watched the game, and most of us did, the Mavericks basically controlled the game from start to finish. Oklahoma City played well enough to hang around, and the Mavericks missed a bunch of free throws that they normally make. And then at the end, they lost. And my point to me that I said to myself, but like again, sometimes like you don't feel like fighting everybody every time. It's like when you shoot the second, I think we talked about it for a minute, Doug. When you shoot the worst playoff percentage or the second worst playoff percentage in 40 years, it's not like that's going to happen again. That's an aberration. It was a terrible day for it to be an aberration, but that's not who you really are. And if we've watched the series, man, I hesitate to say it, but it appears to be true. If you've watched the series from start to finish, the Mavericks seem to be the better team to me. I mean, they just seem to be. Now, it doesn't mean that they win every game, obviously, and Oklahoma City is really good. They're the number one seed in the West for a reason. But just based off this series, the Mavericks seem to be the better team. They got smoked in the first game. In the last four games, they've basically been in control from start to finish almost. Now, they gave one away, or Oklahoma City played well at the end and took it, however you view it. So my point is, I was not especially distressed over Game 5 being in Oklahoma City and, oh, they're going to come out with their hair on fire and, wow, they're going to beat the Mavericks. And even my man Charles Barkley got caught up in it. Oh, I expect them to run them off the court and blow them out. I never did, bro. This is just me, man. And you can tell me what you think. I haven't seen anybody other than Shea who's been phenomenal. I mean, my respect for him then soared through the roof. I haven't seen anybody else show that they can do anything offensively on any kind of consistent basis. Have you?
No, not really. I thought Jalen Williams would be better than he's been, but he's been having matchup problems with P.J. Washington. I think the Mavericks, I like how you said that as they are playing right now, they're the better team. But I think that Oklahoma is better than them. And what I think is that keeps the Mavericks focused. I think when you think you're better than the other team, I think there's a little bit of a letdown. But to me, with Oklahoma being the number one seed in the West, and the Mavericks kind of feel like, let's keep this chip on our shoulder. Let's stay focused. Don't nothing keep you focused like when you playing somebody that you ain't, when you whooping somebody you ain't supposed to whoop. You know, that everybody's counting you out. They put a little extra motivation right there. You know, I think they like that Charles Barkley said that. I think Luka alluded to something like that. Like, hey, I like when he talked that noise. It's all good. You know, and it's going to give him a little extra motivation. Plus, the pressure is always on the higher seed anyway. You know, they're going to get dogged out. If they get knocked out this round, they're going to get dogged out. You know, if the Mavericks lose this round, we're going to say, well, it was a good season. I wish we could have won more. But going back to them losing that game, I didn't panic when they lost the game. But I just don't want to see stuff given away. You know, you don't want to see them given away because you don't know how it's going to matter later on. You know what I'm saying? So that's it. Wasn't that I said, oh damn, I just didn't like the way they lost. I was just like, damn, come on, y'all. You know, we could kill these guys. Get out of this thing. Get us some rest, but.
I talk about this all the time because I believe it and I think it's true. But, and I had a conversation with my boy at the gym about this yesterday, I think. I don't want to say always, but too many times we just forget that athletes are athletes, but that's their job, meaning that they're really just people. And so, you know, they got human frailties like everybody else, so they don't always play good because they're human. And I think sometimes we look at them as superhuman and we act like, you know, like every day you go to work, you don't perform at your best. Even a 12-letter cuss word like you as a truck driver, every day you showed up was not your best day. Every day as a journalist, even though I think I'm that dude, I didn't write my best story, or I didn't have my best day. You know, now everybody's not looking at us per se while we do our job, so it's a little different. But they're not always, like, I heard, I can't tell you how many times I heard in the last 2 days, well, the Stars got to do this and wrap it up. Like, dog, like, you like they just finna show up, skate around, and Colorado gonna lay down for you. These teams, these players, these athletes, it's always hard. And so I'm not surprised. Like, for them to win the other day, and we can say that they should have won had they finished the game and made the free throws, but the odds of you beating Oklahoma City three straight times was just slim to me, even though you was in control. You know what I mean? It's just
so we playing the odds.
I have a lot of respect for these teams.
We playing the odds, or we playing the game? I'm talking about the game within the game. Nah, I ain't talking about
well,
the odds.
I mean, you can say odds.
If you got it in your hand, go on, finish that thing. You can, you know, it ain't about being perfect. It ain't about being superhuman. It's, hey, you got it in your hand, go on, finish it. You know, I couldn't.
Yeah, but I think my point is the other team shows up too. So when they superstar takes over at the end, and yours shows some human frailty, hey, it be like that sometimes.
Okay, no.
But I think my point is I never expect these things to be easy. I always expect them to be hard in the playoffs. I expect long series. I think unless you are overwhelming favorite, then the short series is the exception, not the rule. And so I just expected a level of adversity in this series that the Mavericks were going to have to overcome at some point to win it.
So did you expect them to choke? Did you expect them to choke at the free throw line at some point, or what are we saying? That was a choke job.
I would say I didn't. Let me see. That's an interesting point. That's an interesting point. Because if you say it's a choke job, mm-hmm. then you say the pressure got to Luka, and that's why he missed the free throw. Like,
here's a question. He's not good at the free throw line. He's notoriously bad at the free throw line.
It a choke job, or did, because he's not a good free throw, because he's an average free throw shooter, he missed?
You got to hit that thing. And I'm going to tell you another thing. When the team being physical with you like they was doing, grabbing, pushing, and pulling, and getting all them calls, got to make them pay for it. It's a matter of focus.
That's a whole nother conversation.
It's a matter of focus. And that's where your choke job is.
Okay. Well, this is a nuanced conversation. This is like when you pulling hairs, splitting hairs to determine greatness. We both acknowledge they should have made the free throws because they're free. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying, my opinion, if you say it's a choke job, you saying the pressure affected them and that's why they missed it. Now,
it's a lot of ways to choke. Pressure is one, and then not following through to do your job. Pressure is pressure. Truck driving is, I got to drive over this bridge, whether I got diarrhea, whether I got a phone call, or whether I got any of that. I still got to follow through on my job. I got to get to the other side of this bridge with ice on it, and I got to get there either slow, I got to get there fast, I got to get there. So it's like, I don't have a choice whether I can stop or not go. You understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to use your analogy, which is kind of iffy, but I'm just saying.
But the difference is there are, at every company, there's 10 truck drivers. Mm-hmm. Two of them are the best. Mm-hmm. Two of them are the worst. Mm-hmm. And then the six of them is, you know, they fall into a little better, a little worse than the average. Well, when I put the load on the dude who's the best truck driver, mm-hmm. I fully expect him to get over. When I put the dude on the worst truck driver, I'm like, let's say some Hail Marys and some prayers and hope this dude get over, because we know he ain't no good.
We might need to leave truck driving alone because it ain't like that. But all right. Because if the guy can't,
Luka to make the free throws, and so when he didn't, that kind of sealed their fate.
And
now, by the same token,
he choked.
Well, I mean, we could talk about this all day.
He did. He choked. He missed one. He's supposed to miss that. I'm just saying, yeah, they're human, but
well,
I ain't
mean,
giving
you
them.
You say he choked, that's, I say he just missed it. So it's a nuanced conversation, and you are certainly entitled to believe that he choked.
All right, then.
But I don't think the pressure got to him. So, you know, I think he's just an average free throw shooter. Now, you know what? It, I think the other part you said is probably true. Like I don't think the pressure got to him, but I think perhaps the physicality of the game and all of that, he lost that focus, and that's why he didn't make the free throw. So maybe it's the same thing. I don't
probably
know.
It's more, but, likely, more likely the same thing.
I enjoy nuanced conversations because I don't think people have enough of them. I think people like to throw blanket statements out there. And the problem with me is I just refuse to accept blanket statements. You know, the arguments I used to get in with my girlfriends the most is whenever a conversation or disagreement would come up and the words always and never were used. And I would just be like, that's bullshit.
You can't be out. I hate people.
Nobody says always and nobody says. Go ahead.
I hate that absolute stuff. You can't be absolute.
Because that's not true.
You never do this. And you, hold up.
Right. And I just call BS on it because it's not true. And I would, you know, some people say, why don't you just, you know what she meant? Nah. Say what you mean and mean what you say.
Words matter.
Words matter. And they especially matter to me because why? I'm a dude whose life revolves around words. And so I can be I can get stuck on your word choice, for better or for worse. I mean, hell, that's what we're doing right now. Is I'm stuck on your word choice.
Yeah.
And you know, I understand that. So sometimes I have to just decide to let it go because I can go back and forth on word choice.
I think that's what you're doing right now. I think you're letting it go in a very long ass way, but it's all good.
Well, I was just bringing up other things because I had a disagreement with a woman recently about that word choice. And I was like, nah, we're not going down that road. And that wasn't even about nothing that serious. But I was just like, nope, that is not true. Now, let me say this, because there's another point I wanted to raise about Luka that I haven't heard much of lately, and I'm glad. And I heard something from Luka last night that if you're a Mavericks fan, should make you happy. And here's what I'm talking about, man. Do you remember back in February, or right before the trade deadline, probably, there was a whole lot of conversation about the Mavericks got to do something because Luka can opt out in a couple years and be gone somewhere else where he has a chance to win. Because in the NBA, your legacy is defined by championships. It's that simple. So you can be Charles Barkley, you can be Clyde Drexler, you could be amongst the greats of the greats. But if you ain't got that ring, people give you the side eye. And they talk trash about you during the halftime shows. And so there's a whole lot of chatter.
I thought Clyde got one with Houston. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Yeah, go ahead.
So there was a whole lot of chatter about the Mavericks got to do something to make Luka happy, and Luka could leave after the 25 season if he, you know, well, you know, maybe he decides he don't even want the Supermax because he's made enough money. He needs the ring. He needs to go to an organization that can surround him with talent, blase, blase, blase. And now you look up, and what did Luka say last night? Luka was like, I like this team. I like these guys. We got something special going on. And to me, that should make the Maverick fans happy because I think Luka now looks at this team and this organization and says, you know what? They figured out to make a trade at the deadline that got us a big who can play, a 3-and-D wing guy in P.J. Washington who can play. They did a good job in the draft getting a guy in the 10-hole who could actually come in and contribute and play, and looks like he's got a great future. They went and got me Kyrie once they figured out Porzingis couldn't play with me. And Kyrie and I get along great. And I think he likes the way the team has been put together. He likes the coach, which is one reason Jason Kidd just got an extension. And I think now you don't have to worry about Luka leaving anytime soon. And to me, that was a real question because, you know, With a guy like Luka, who's been playing pro his whole life, basically, who spent a lot of time in Barcelona, you know, Dallas is a great city, but he seemed bigger and better. And so the lure of Chicago or L.A. or New York could certainly be enticing to somebody who's been on the world stage. And so I think the way the Mavericks have put the team together around him, the way he sees that now, especially during this series, that his role players are coming through, he doesn't have to be the superstar carrying every bit of the load every single night. I think that's taken some pressure off of him. I think it's made him happy. I think he likes the direction of the organization. And I think ultimately he will take that $310 trillion contract and make it happen.
Yeah, I think he's happy. I think when you talk about the player in the 10 hole, are you talking about Jones?
Jones.
Number 55, Jones Jr.
No, not specifically.
Well, I'm just saying, that's who I thought of. But yeah, I like the way they kind of quietly built things around Luka. And it's really, this whole team is kind of unexpected for me, because I watched them real close and I just thought, why are they re-signing Kyrie? Not knowing the things they got going on. And like you say, the front office did a great job. I thought that was a good point that you made. And the fact that he didn't do a lot of griping this game.
Yeah, I think he did that by on purpose. I think I read somewhere where the members of the organization, and somebody talked to him and said, yo, you need to chill. And he took it to heart and chilled.
It's a good time. Good time for that. I mean, if he started listening right now, because he ain't listened before.
Well, you know, I think clearly he's a passionate, emotional player. And I think you just got to rein him in sometimes, and then he'll slowly get back toward that, and you'll have to rein him in again.
Yeah.
Maybe just you don't wait so long until you rein him in this time.
I always say I'd rather calm you down than coach you up.
Right.
Get you fired up. Yeah.
On that note, let's give Clarence E. Hill Jr. a call and talk about that Cowboys schedule. Clarence E. Hill Jr. brought to you each and every Friday by Smokey John's Barbecue, right there at 1820 West Mockingbird, where the food is delicious. It is to live for.
What's up?
What, man? I'm just waiting for you to get Clarence on the line.
Well, you didn't tell me we was calling Clarence.
Smokey John's Barbecue. Home in the Jam Session Bowl.
Hold on a second.
Where the food is delicious. You got the Smokey John's rub out there at HEB. Uh oh. Who's that sexy young lady you got with you?
I think you done lost your damn mind. Yep.
What's up, man?
We over here losing our mind over here, Clarence. I don't know what's going on.
Hey, y'all lose your mind and y'all time. Why we late today? What's going on?
Oh, look here, man. Look here, man. I got a question for you.
Hey, man.
I got a question for you. Do you have a man bag?
I've never had a man bag.
Thank you. All right, then. I'm good. I'm good for the rest of the year.
I mean, he ain't never used shea butter either. What does that mean?
I don't know.
That's not true. Man bag, but I'm just saying what I need. I don't need a merc. I don't have a merc either.
You okay?
Man, thank you.
I don't have a merc either, but you know, I'm old school.
I mean, I don't think Clarence.
Thank you.
I'm old.
I mean, old school is fine. Old school is fine. We're not. I mean, I wouldn't even bring Clarence Hill Jr. into this conversation.
I've never been described as metrosexual. I'm country man.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, he's not about trying to go get no pedicure and all of that either. So, I mean, it's not neither here nor there.
All right, then.
And that doesn't make it good or bad. It's just what it is. Yeah.
Everybody makes their choices.
That's
sir.
Right. Merry Christmas.
Right, right.
But no Mercer man bag.
Right. So, now let's move on to a more interesting topic.
Roger that. Roger that.
I know I'm thinking about getting a shoulder bag for training camp.
No bags, man. Don't get no bag. No bag. No. No bag. No.
Damn, he just heads done it, didn't he? Yeah, he did.
I said a shoulder bag.
I said a shoulder bag. Oh, damn. All right, then.
That's one more moving to my side of the world. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, my goodness. You went over there, and then you came back, and then you went over there again. Damn. All right, then.
Now, the real question is, what the Cowboys schedule comes out, we all knew the opponents, but now that you see how it's laid out, you got any thoughts on the Cowboys schedule?
You know, I think that the Cowboys have a, you know, for a Cowboys standpoint, I think the teams are tougher than they played last year. But the way the schedule's laid out, it's a pretty good schedule. I mean, you got a mini bye early, you know, with that early Thursday night game. You got an early bye, then you got your bye. You don't have a back to back Thursday like you've had in the past for the last 10 years, it seems.
Which is really a break for you.
You know, you got your bye for Thanksgiving. You got another, you know, then after that, you got a Monday night game to get you an extra bye in January, so to speak. Because it's you got a Thursday and a Monday following that Thursday. Right. So that's a lot of time.
You especially know, so, at that part of the season where you usually beat up.
Yeah. I mean, but yeah, the schedule's tougher with the AFC North and the team that they play. But it's not daunting, you know, and I think you got a lot of home games at the end of the season. So
six out of nine.
Yeah, so it's set up, you know, if they can navigate it. So with this roster, it's not a daunting schedule. Again, we knew the opponents. It's, you know, got a lot of playoff teams, a lot of division winners. You got a lot of different teams on there. But the schedule itself, how they have to go about their business, is a pretty good schedule for the Cowboys.
Yeah, the one thing I noticed early, and I'm being nuanced in this because it is the National Football League, but Cleveland, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Detroit, San Francisco, in the first half of the season are all traditionally very physical teams. And so I'm going to be interested to see if it wears on them a little bit just because those are the kind of teams you play where you get beat up and it just seems to linger more than with some other teams. You think?
Yeah, I mean, again, I was talking to our boy Calvin last night. I'm trying to, you know, because I predicted 10-7. I said they're not going to go 12-5 for the fourth straight year. You know, I predicted 10-7, and you know, I can see them winning 11 games. You know, but I don't know what they're going to do in Cleveland. What you going to do in Cleveland and Pittsburgh? You know, tell me what you're going to do at Cleveland at Pittsburgh. Can you stop the run in Cleveland? Can you stop the run in Baltimore? You know. But ooh, you know,
yeah,
you know that's you know where I head, you know, because I just don't know about this team, you know, and I, you know, we talked to Zimmer the other day, we love Zimmer, you know, but it seems like they're relying on Zimmer's scheme more than players to stop the run because they have the worst defensive tackles in the league. If we can be real about that, how about this most unproven
I was going to say worst.
Well, I mean, they may have the worst group of defensive tackles in the league. They certainly have the most unproven and unknown defensive tackles in the league.
Yeah, I think.
Well, let's get into this nuanced conversation. You don't think Mazi Smith is any good?
I don't think Mazi Smith has been any good as a rookie. I don't know what he's going to be. I don't know what good. What's good?
Well, my question is, well, let me rephrase the question for the defendant. Do you believe Mazi Smith is a good player?
He hasn't been. I mean, I don't understand what's controversial about that.
I didn't say it was controversial. Do you think he can be a good player this year?
We don't know.
This is my take, and I think we've talked about this before, and I think you guys brought up the fact about Randy White. In the history of the Cowboys, history is not on the side. Name me a first round pick. You probably go to second round pick who did not start as a rookie who became a great player or even a good player. It certainly hasn't happened in the last 20 years.
Did Sean Lee start as a rookie?
Outside of injuries.
Okay, well, you just adding shit now.
Well, I'm not adding shit because, I mean, because
my girl, what is we talking about?
No,
I'm saying, I just asked, did he start as a rookie?
I don't know. I can look it up. But I think he did. But my point is, if injuries, like Michael Irvin got hurt in rookie year.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. But he still was, he became, I'm talking about where it wasn't the injury that kept you off the field. It was your play.
I got you. That's why I was thinking. I didn't remember. I couldn't remember if Sean Lee was off the field because of injuries or did he start his second year. I don't know. I couldn't remember.
If he didn't, it was injury. But my point is, I want it to be because of your play. I mean, injuries is one thing.
Yeah,
okay?
I got you.
But I'm talking about you did not get on the field like Bobby Carpenter showed up and was inactive. I helped his scratch. Okay.
Yeah. Ebenezer Ekibon, Bobby Wagner. Yeah.
So I'm just talking about people who did not play at all as a rookie, and because of performance, not because of injury, not because you tore your ACL and had a knee injury, performance, and turned out to be a great player.
Yeah.
That's all I'm asking. And again, Bobby, Sean Lee was a second round pick, but Sean Lee did not start a game as a rookie. And I guess, and he did have play in 14 games, so I'm going to give you Sean Lee.
Well, that's why I thought.
I think it's okay to say.
If he turned into Sean Lee, it's going to be all good.
If he turned into Sean. But I don't know if he's going to turn into Sean Lee.
I don't know either.
No, I think now the things in his benefit are, it appears or it sounds like that the Cowboys want to use him the way he was used in college. Why you laugh at that, man?
I didn't laugh. He
just... That was me. Because all of a sudden, the scheme is going to be the reason why he's going to turn into this behemoth against the run. And I would suggest you this. I'm asking you this. Dan Quinn didn't become a bad coach. But
depending on who you ask.
Well, of course. It's all about spin. I just know if he don't get the Washington job, he's probably still coaching the Cowboys.
Right.
But did they ask Mazza to do anything they didn't ask Jonathan Hankins to do?
That's not the question, Doc. That's not your question. The answer to your question is no. But
okay, thank you.
I had this conversation last night with our boy Calvin Watkins. And this is how I explained it to him. He said, Jonathan Hankins says it's not that hard a deal. And I said to him, it doesn't matter. If you and I both take an accounting class, which you started off as a major in college, you could look at me in the face and say, Taylor, what's the problem, man? This stuff is easy. And I could look at you and say, bruh, then why am I getting a D? It ain't easy to me. And so I'm talking to Calvin. He says, all the other players said it's easy. The whole team says it's easy. I go, it doesn't matter if everybody in the class got an A and I got an F. It doesn't matter if you think it's easy, if I don't think it's easy.
Okay.
So it doesn't matter if they asked him to do the same thing. If he's not good at it.
Okay, listen to me. It's one thing to talk about accounting and something like that. We're just talking about being a 330-pound man who's supposed to have superhuman strength, okay? And no one's asking you to be an all-pro, okay? Whether it's your best skill or not. We're just asking you to pee a drop, okay? He was a minus player last year, Jock. I don't care what scheme you're in, okay?
Well, see, I would disagree with that, and here's why.
We don't trust you to play four freaking snaps in a game where we need you to stop the run. So I'm not asking you to be great in the system. I'm just asking you to show a pulse in the system. He showed no pulse in the system.
Okay, here's the disconnect, I think. And I'm just going to ask you. Now I'm gonna ask you, because I have a fundamental. Let me just ask the question. So, do you think, how much do you think scheme matters to a player?
I think it matters a little, but at the end of the day, it's not X's and O's, it's Jimmy's and Joe's. Okay.
Okay. See, I fundamentally disagree with that, and here's why.
Okay, so people made that statement up.
No, here's why. We're talking about when you say scheme matters very little. It depends on the player, and this is what I'm gonna tell you. Two examples. Number one starts with Herschel Walker, who was a great player in high school at Riceville, Georgia, in the I formation, was a great player in Georgia in the I formation, was a great player at the New Jersey Generals in the I formation, was a great player with the Dallas Cowboys in the I formation. Minnesota Vikings put him in a split back. He wasn't worth shit. Now, that's example number one. Example number two, talk to any of them, Michael, Troy, or Emmett. We had David Shula scheme. We wasn't shit. We brought North Turner in, put his scheme in there, would let us do what we did best, and we became Hall of Famers and champions. So I think scheme matters. It's not the end all be all if you don't have no talent.
Okay,
but if you have talent and you're in the wrong scheme, you're not going to be the best player you can be, and you might be a shitty player till you get moved to a different scheme.
Okay, first of all, I think that there's context with all of that. You know,
what's the context? What did I say that wasn't true?
Because of context. Because again, I'm not asking you to be great. And Michael Irvin and all of them may not have been great in the Hall of Fame of this scheme, but at least they played in that scheme. We couldn't even put you on the field. You're missing to understand. We could not put you on the field. So and now all of a sudden, because of scheme, you're going to go out there and be a difference maker?
No, I didn't say that. I said because of scheme, you might be a solid player.
But that's what's being
I'm not talking about the behemoth.
Like I told you, the defensive tackle, for this team to be successful, somebody has to be a plus player. Yes, you're going to get on the field because you have no choice. Okay? Yes, you're going to play because they have no one else. They need plus players. To be the standard here is to win a title. These guys are in that last year. These coaches are all on one-year deals. So, yes, he's going to play more because he has no choice but to play more. He's going to record stats.
I ain't talking about playing. I'm talking about being good.
What is this?
So what's good? Well, how do you quantify good? Because they have to be good for the defense. I'm just asking. I don't know. And I'm saying there's the unknown around all of that. Because none of those guys are plus players. Look at the people they have playing a defensive tackle, nose tackle, whatever, all of that.
Well, the biggest
it's not just him.
The biggest issue that I have with two things with Dan Quinn. One, teaching technique. Two is having some guys with linebacker in their name instead of that hybrid bullshit that he put in now. And the Cowboys are going to definitely be better against the run this year because guess what they're going to do? Guess what they did? They drafted. They signed. They are getting back linebackers. None of that hybrid bullshit that Dan Quinn was playing. And I never liked that. And I talked about that the whole damn season. They're going to be markedly better against the run this year. They don't have no choice because that shit they was doing is raggedy. It was raggedy.
Okay. And again, I'm not rooting against anybody. I'm not rooting against a player.
Right.
Or the skill, whatever. I hope they are. I'm just saying, based on what we know, and I can only go by what we know.
That's what you're saying. We don't know.
All I go is what we know.
Right.
In addition to these guys, and the defense line coach is considered so good, he became a defense coordinator. So, and the defense coordinator is so good that he became head coach. Okay, so apparently these guys know nothing about football.
Well, I didn't say that. I'm just saying it was raggedy. I'm saying if he don't get lifted against Green Bay, he gets a better job. That's what I think. He got the worst job that he could get. I think he could have got a better job. He don't give up 40-some points against Green Bay.
Better relative. He got a head coach job. But that's not the better job.
32 of them.
Yeah, but better, still better, arrested. Better. Steve would have got a better job.
I mean, okay, what I'm saying is he was on the red, he got a job. And the defense line coach became defense coordinator in Seattle. Mm-hmm. So somebody liked the work he was doing. I understand is that there's, you know.
Somebody like it, bitch.
The Cowboys are supposed to say, they have to say that the scheme is going to make a difference. Because they drafted a guy last year knowing full well what the scheme was. And you can go back to the tape. And I love Will McClay. You go back to the tape. Will McClay said the reason they wanted to draft Mozzie last year because he was going to make an impact player on the run defense in Dan Quinn's scheme. Doing what Dan Quinn asked you to do.
I might not be. Maybe I'm not speaking English. If you got if you got somebody on the second level that they ain't filling no holes, it don't matter what you do in the front. It's okay, that damn simple. The middle of that defense was awful.
Okay, that's fine. This man didn't even get on the field to be a part of that. Is all I'm
saying it wouldn't have made no difference.
That's not made
it
no
wouldn't have made no. We don't know what he is. We know he's gonna get coached up by Mike Zimmer. We don't know what he is.
Whose forte is what?
Defense.
Secondary.
It's defense. You think that A-gap scheme he used to run is all secondary?
I don't know. I know.
It ain't all secondary.
I love Mike Zimmer, but Dan Quinn has been a more successful defensive coordinator with Super Bowls on his resume.
He had better players too.
I'm just going back to history. I'm just saying
he had better players too. Don't even count Seattle. That defense was off the charts. That defense, okay. Mike Zimmer could have took that defense. I'm going to win with yours and win with mine, too. I don't know what to tell you.
All I'm saying is, based on what we know, he's been a more successful championship defense coordinator.
Okay. He won with Seattle, but he got tore up with Atlanta.
Super Bowl with Atlanta.
And Jimmy Johnson won with Dallas and got tore up in Miami. Who can say we can go down the list?
Well, I'm just saying. I don't know.
If Jimmy Johnson had better players than Dallas, we can go down the list. I'm just stating the fact.
He had better players where?
In Dallas,
okay.
And then he went to Miami and got tore up. We can play that game.
That team was awful, but all right.
He had enough time to build that team, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Dan Quinn ain't Jimmy Johnson. Why are you splitting hairs?
The Hall of Fame is filled with people who are in great situations, whatever else. They won with that team. I mean, that's what it is. I'm sorry. The facts are.
And Dan Quinn ain't one of them.
The facts are he's been a more successful defense coordinator. You can talk about talent, whatever else. Those are the facts. He was going down in history as a championship defense coordinator. That's the facts.
That's great. He didn't do that here.
Okay. And
that's my problem.
Right, moving on.
He didn't do it here.
Okay. You're did Zimmer?
We gonna see.
He's been here before.
I know, but he's here now. I'm saying Dan Quinn. We talking about. I'm telling you the scheme he ran last year.
I understand the personnel he put in there last year. Based on history and based on what they've done, that's all I was based on. They both have had times here.
Yeah. Well, let's move on because we can go back down this rabbit hole all day long. CeeDee Lamb, what's his situation? When he's showing up? Training camp?
Well, he definitely not showing up to the league training camp. Well, I mean, I don't know about it. let me hedge. Because, you know, you get fined for not coming to the mini camp.
Well, a sit-in?
They call it a hold-in.
That's what I mean. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He'll show up and not participate.
Right.
He'll show up and not participate. So they will have a hold-in. And so that's what's on the table. I mean, that's what it is. I don't think it's a big deal. It's the same offensive scheme. They're not changing anything. He and Dak have done work together in the offseason, going to Dak's house. He is working out, and it's going to be in great shape. Him missing the OTAs right now is just not an issue.
No, I mean, I don't think it's a big deal.
You know,
my question is,
your boy Michael Parsons, you know, world traveling across the world and not you know, here for the installation of the scheme and all that stuff. But that's, you know, but they're okay with Micah.
Well, that's because they don't know how to talk to Micah. They're scared to talk to Micah, so they have to be okay with Micah. I mean, you could say, "Hey, dog, I know it's voluntary, but you're one of the leaders. We're putting in this new scheme. Get your ass here." I mean, they could say that, but they're scared of Micah, so they don't say that. I mean, you know.
If Jerry ain't gonna say it,
that's what I'm saying. So. You know that, and I ain't mad at Micah, because if they ain't got the balls to tell me nothing, then fine, I'm gonna do what I want to do. You know, it is what it is. We can't end the conversation without talking about your quarterback. Jared Goff gets 4 years, $212 million, 170 guaranteed. How does that affect one Dak Prescott?
Well, I mean, I think it just reinforces what the market is, and I think Jared Goff's market is the floor for Dak Prescott. You know, and that's
a very interesting statement. Why is that the floor for Dak Prescott? Because he's right now more accomplished than Dak Prescott.
See, I would disagree. We can go to the mat on this one.
Okay, well, that's a false statement.
Every measure. Just look at the numbers. He's not more accomplished than Dak Prescott. He's had more playoff success. He's not been a better quarterback than Dak Prescott.
Yeah, consistency. He ain't been consistent this day at all.
He don't have more touchdown passes. Right. He don't have more wins. He don't have more. He got more interceptions. Dak has better QBR. He has better quarterback rating. It ain't even a conversation.
Let me ask y'all something.
Dak Prescott.
What do we judge quarterbacks by?
Well, it depends on who you're talking to, because in this day and age, team wins without a quarterback set. I mean, we can do that. We can do it all day, because that means that Trent Dilfer is better than Dan Marino. If we want to continue to go down this road, if we're going to continue to go down this road, that quarterback success and how you measure quarterback is based on playoff success, we go down this road, because there's a lot of quarterbacks who have had more playoff success than Dan Marino, so they must be better.
I just think in today's world, you need he's played better football in the playoffs than Dak has played in the playoffs. And people make those arguments.
People can make those arguments.
But it's interesting that's the floor.
What else would be the floor? I just don't.
So is he getting? Let me see. Is he getting? It's interesting that's the floor, because it's not that much. I mean, it's really not that much lower than Joe Burrow.
Well, he's the second highest paid quarterback behind Joe Burrow. So I mean,
right.
You know, no matter what you think of Joe Burrow and these young guys, I mean, say what you want to, but you can say they're in the same category. I would that. Joe Burrow is a top 10 quarterback. He's not a top 5. I don't know where you want to put Dak Prescott, but they're in the top 10 or whatever else. When you measure the guys and what they've done and how they played and whatever else, and so if Joe Burrow gets – I mean, if Jared Goff just gets this – This is where the conversation starts with Dak Prescott. He can get the same contract, a little more, however you want to look at it. This is where the conversation starts. My thing has always been, and I don't know what's, you know, you can say what you want about Dak's success and what he has done in the playoffs. I don't know what's palatable. What is palatable for a contract that makes fans okay with Dak Prescott getting paid? Because, I mean, outside of him being gone, which, you know, which Jared does not want to do. You know, you don't want to pay him. He's not worth $60 million. Okay, is he worth 55? Is he worth 52? Well, where are we? What makes everybody happy and okay with the next deal Dak's gonna get? And again, number one is
the people who like Dak will like whatever deal he get. The people that don't like Dak won't like whatever deal he get. We can start with that one.
Yeah, but the Cowboys claim they want him to take some type of quarterback friendly deal. They don't want him to get all the money. You know, that if he talks to them privately, they don't want him to get all the money. So what's not all the money that's going to make them happy is what I'm trying to put my finger on. You talk to anybody, they don't, well, Dak gets enough. He got paid the last time. CD going to get a max deal. Mike is going to be their first deal. He shouldn't break the bank. Okay, what's not breaking the bank that's going to make everybody happy?
I think we discussed, I think somewhere right around Jalen's contract is Jalen Hurts. Jalen. What's his name?
That's 50, that's 52. That's right there. It's the same.
That's what I'm saying. Same. It's somewhere in that ballpark.
Yeah, it's. I mean,
like, I don't think there's much wiggle room. It's somewhere between 52 and 54. It's just a matter of how much guaranteed it is and how many years it is.
Yeah, you ain't going to be born in 4 years, but it's, you know, so, yeah, I mean, so he going to get paid regardless, you know, and does his agent want to break? Does his agent want to set a new, because he can set a new market, you know, you know, at 60, I you know, where are we? Because if you look at the numbers and based on everybody, you know, just talking to people, you know, he could command $60 million.
In the open market, yeah.
Yeah, you know, so, you know, the, you know, so that's where it is. So it's interesting, you know, and it's funny because I also wrote this other day. In a season in which Mike McCarthy, his job is on the line, all the coaches are on one-year deals, that process in the final year of his deal, they're going to spend the offseason finding out about Trey Lance.
Yeah,
he'll get all the snaps, offseason training camp, because we need to find out what we have with Trey Lance. And he's also in the final year of his deal. You know, hey, it's just an interesting environment that we're asking them to win in.
Yep.
You know, you want to find out about a future of a quarterback who may not even be here to see, because if we're paying Trey Lance, that means that we didn't have a good season. That means we're getting rid of our coaches and we're getting rid of Dak Prescott. If Trey Lance is a starter in 2025, that means that we're getting rid of everybody.
Yeah, brother, it's been a bad offseason. It's been a bad season if Trey Lance is starting next year.
Yeah, but I'm saying you're asking a coaching staff to develop a guy that they won't coach.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. That's real interesting. Yeah.
Go ahead.
And just getting back to the Zimmer thing, and I wasn't trying to shit on Zimmer and everybody else. I'm just saying that the Cowboys are asking the biggest change in this offseason, because they didn't get a lot of players, is they're asking Zimmer his attitude, his discipline, and his scheme to make the difference in 1 year.
Now, see, I will agree with that.
I think it's both, though. I think it's the personnel. All of it. No, I'm talking about his personnel, too. I think the personnel that they're getting is going to be different. That's just going to make a major difference right there.
They've added one guy, sir.
No. They've added three guys. They're getting O'Shawn back. They're getting the guy from Notre Dame. They added Kendricks.
The guy from Notre Dame is playing behind Kendricks.
But they're getting real linebackers. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Okay. That's the main difference in the run. I keep saying that over and over. Okay. It's the middle of that defense was the problem.
But again, I'm just saying that they're asking Zimmer to be the difference. And whether it's his scheme, whether it's bringing in players, it's all based on Zimmer. That's all, you know, just they're asking Zimmer and him being a disciplined guy, playing your gaps, teaching discipline, his scheme. That's going to be the difference. He's their biggest offseason acquisition.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think you're right. I think they are. But I think that's what I think you've seen coaches make differences in for various sides of the ball. And now we'll see if he can do that. Maybe he can, maybe he can't, but he has what it takes to do it, and now we'll see if he can get it done. I don't think it'd be easy, but we'll see if he can get it done, because nobody knows. We just have theories right now.
Yeah, and again, right now, up front, the front seven, you got one special player, and that's Michael Parsons, one proven special player. You know, at the end of the day, you look at all these other teams that have had success, you know, whether it's 49ers, and they got real linebackers. They also got real linebackers who are all pros. You know, they got horses in addition to their scheme. Right now, there's no litany of horses on the scheme. And it's funny because Mike McCarthy, we were in the press conference, and I hear everything. And he was talking about the offensive line. He said, you look at these defensive lines around the league, and they got multiple first-round picks on the defensive line, multiple first-round picks to deal with these offensive linemen. And I said, what about your defensive line?
Why you say that, man?
Where the multiple first-round picks?
Well, they on the O-line.
We were that talking about defensive though. Line.
I understand.
We're talking about defensive line, how to play defense. I understand on O-line, but my point is, he's saying the defenses that you have to deal with have multiple first-round picks on the defensive line. And my point is the Cowboys don't have that.
How many 49ers got? Two or one?
Yeah, I don't know.
I do.
But what's the answer?
I think it's two. It may be Armstead may be, and he might be gone. I'm not sure.
No, he gone.
Okay, so they got one.
Okay. This is just a theoretical conversation.
Well,
this is a theoretical conversation. My point is the Cowboys.
Oh, it's theoretical now. All right.
Yes, because the Cowboys, whether it's first round picks or even second round picks, they don't have a litany of investment up front. That's just a fact. And the man said to play good defense, he did great defense, have first round picks up front. I'm just going based on what he said. I'm just saying that's why it's tough.
Yes. All right, then.
That's why it's tough.
I can't keep hitting you with the facts. I can't keep spoon feeding you these facts.
You act like he's not my fact.
I'm just telling you. You mentioned the 49ers defense, and I'm going, where the first round picks at over there?
Okay, Jack, maybe I can reason with you. Okay. These are his facts. These are not my facts. These are the head coach's facts.
Right.
These are not my facts. Right. This is not my statement. This was his statement, so you're challenging his statement.
Well, they still debatable. It don't matter. I mean, it's he can say what he want to say.
Hell, he's the head coach.
But they say stuff all the time.
He's the leader. Okay. He's the leader of the team. He's the one who sets the tone. He can say what he want to say, but this is what he said. That's all I'm saying. I'm not arguing with you about going down the list of every team. I'm only dealing with what he's talking about, what it takes to be a great defense, what defense they have to face, and based on his team. That's the only reason I brought it up.
Well, based on that, they're not gonna have a great defense, but maybe they can have a good one.
I'm just based on what he said, not me.
All right. Well, we appreciate Clancy Hill Jr. Do you want to hang around for the Murph man bag conversation? You're welcome to.
I mean, why are we talking about man bag? I don't understand. And we're not gonna talk about the Mavericks. We're gonna talk about Jason Kidd's coaching. I'm just a football.
We've already done that. We bring you in as a
you all around.
We've already covered that. And you know you are a Cowboys expert. And now we're moving on to man bags.
I was thinking about a soda bag, small soda bag, not a man bag.
Oh, now it's a small soda bag. What you need to do is get yourself a crossbody messenger bag.
Oh my god!
Come over to the metrosexual side, baby. There's nothing wrong with it.
A crossbody messenger bag.
I've never owned a fanny pack.
Yeah. Thank you.
No, fanny packs are not stylish, man. Crossbody messenger bag, man. I mean, you think you pull women now. Crossbody messenger bag, you won't be able to fill up your calendar.
Just a black man just raising kids.
Well, both your kids in college, so what you doing with all that free time?
Yeah, for real.
On that note, he says, I must go.
That man is legendary.
Oh God!
I'm Usher St. John Baptist Church. All right, guys.
Okay, let's get out of here for this lightning we've been hearing pops down on one of our eyes. All right, that's Clancy Hill Jr., our brother, brought to you each and every Friday for Smokey John's Barbecue, where the food is to live for. Yeah, man, because it is love in your mouth.
See what I got to put up with?
I know you can
see that, man. They don't have nothing to do with me. I don't have nothing to do with that.
Smokey John's Barbecue. It's the Jam Session Bowl. It's on the secret menu. If you know, you know. Now, let me tell y'all a little bit about it. Because I had my boy Kevin Johnson. He sent me a picture last week of his and hers Jam Session Bowls. I was like, whoa, you went big time, dog, with the his and hers, because he didn't want to share. Most of the time I tell people you can share, because the Jam Session Bowl is a bowl with a mac and cheese base, which Joe likes to rock with, or mashed potato base, which I prefer. One day we're going to get Content Dave over there and see which one he likes. But in the meantime, they put your choice out of 2 out of 5 smoked meats on it. I like to rock with the brisket and the sausage. And then all that stuff you find on a loaded baked potato, you know, bacon bits, chives, butter, cheese, all that good stuff, sour cream. They put that on top, man, and then they drizzle it with sauce or drench it with sauce, whatever the case may be, however you like to get down. Like I said, this is a bunch of food, man. This is enough for two. If you got a little shorty, that's 6 or 7. 3 y'all can eat off of it. It is more than enough. But the Jam Session Bowl is to live for. Now, let me tell you something. Smokey John's has become versatile over the last several years. Now, you go to the website, SmokeyJohns.com. Go to the marketplace, and you get the sauce or the rub delivered to your house in a couple days. All you got to do is click on it. Boom, and it's done. Or if you got to have it like today, I need it, you can go to HEB. And, I mean, they all over DFW now. And McKinney and Allen and Burleson, Frisco. It's on the shelves. Waxahachie. Just go by the shelf, pick it up, take it to the crib. You can use it tonight. It's that convenient and it's that easy. Smokey John's Barbecue, where the food is to live for. Juan and Brent Reeves, they get down like none other. They're all over social media. They really, truly are the best in the game. And that's why we love having them with us. Can't do the show without them. Smokey John's Barbecue. Get some. It is food to live for.
You know, now we had this commercial, which is great, and I love Smokey John's. I do want to relate one
thing. I thought you was gone.
No, I was wondering. I was wondering if you said, you know, I said, did he realize that he holding Clarence? I didn't know, you know.
He didn't say goodbye. You started talking about Smokey John's. I just wanted to know. Somebody tried to take a shot at me on Twitter because they mad at my content. And told me about my annoying soda commercials. My annoying voice on the soda commercials.
And I said, "Did you tell them to get their black people straight?" I love when that happens.
I don't know how they can confuse the two.
I don't.
They must be putting raisins in their potato salad. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm gonna say about that.
I dealt with so much. I dealt with that yesterday. And also dealt with you know, white people telling me I hate white people and I'm racist, you know. And then there's a black guy I got mad at over my Mozzie stuff, who told me my name was, I'm a sellout and my name is Clarence and it's a white name. Like, have y'all heard? Do y'all know any living white folks named Clarence? I'm just asking.
You should have told him.
No, I do not. No, I do not.
I just know Clarence Carter. I be stroking. You know,
yeah. Clarence Clemens, Clarence Carter, yeah. Clarence Amen, yeah. Clarence Williams the Third.
All of you that. Know, we yeah. Go, yeah.
Clarence Big House Games.
Yep. You know, Clarence. Yep. Say Clarence is a white name.
Clarence from 8 Mile. Clarence from 8 Mile. You know, it's just the blackest show out of Detroit. It's like that is Twitter in a nutshell. Yeah. You know, and this dude's name was Dwayne. I'm like, okay, Dwayne.
There's Clarence Darrow.
Yeah, come on,
the attorney in the early 1900s.
I mean, we can Google, but, yeah, I Googled all of it. We can Google all day long. There's 100
yeah,
years.
I think 8 of the top 10 Clarences are black people. So, yeah. most famous Clarence is 8 of the top 10 of black, starting with Clarence Seedorf. So,
it is what it is, man. Y'all have a good day.
Yep.
All right, man. Appreciate you.
All right.
Who knew Chill was staying around for the Smokey Jaws commercial? You never know who's lurking around here.
Soda commercial.
Yeah, let's go to the block, man.
I guess. You already been there and back and around.
Hey, come on, man. Let's end on a high note. Yeah, real high, because Clarence got us running behind now. This will be a quick edition of the block. I was going to talk about man bags, but we'll save that for next week.
We got to talk about it again?
I had another conversation I was going to talk about today. I'm ignoring you now. Did you go... Let me see. How do I want to start? I had this conversation that was interesting to me yesterday. And it was about the decline of the barbershop. And the barbershop is not what it used to be. And I was thinking, you know what? My son is 20. And he never really got the full barbershop experience. Where you go to the barbershop, you got to wait 2 hours for your haircut, if not three. And while you're there, you listen to all the older guys talk about who the best football team is, who the best player is, why LeBron is not better than Jordan, who the best boxer is, and all of that. And you hope that maybe one day they'll ask you for your opinion when you're sitting in the chair. Did you have that kind of barbershop when you was a kid?
Yeah, I did. What's funny is one of my best friends is a barber right now. He's been a barber for about 20 years. And if I'd have known you was going to talk about that, I could have talked to him and brought him on. But, yeah, it's a difference. The barbershop taught you a lot of stuff. You know, we had a barber named Mr. Crawford in Grand Prairie. And he would try to fool me sometimes because he'd say, hey, which one of them haircuts you want? And he'd point at the damn thing, and I'd point at the one with, you know, my hair was long, so I'd point at the one with the cool-ass afro. He go, that's the one you want? I go, yeah. He go, all right. Then he just shave all my head off. He goes, well, I would give you that, but your mama already been down there and told me what you want. And I'm like, yeah, you, man, that's cold. That's cold, Mr. Crawford, because a couple times I went to the barbershop, and it was like, she give me the money, me and my brother go down there, and I say, I want this cut right here. And we'd come back with that hair half cut. She'd go, what the hell is that? How come y'all don't have what they call the ivory lick? That's the bald head. Because me and my brother wasn't about that. You know, we wasn't always combing the fro out right. So right. She was like, you ain't combing right? I'm going to get the ivory lick. And boy, you know, my everybody in the neighborhood would make fun of us for about 2 weeks because we'd come back with them shaved ass head and everybody had afro. So you touched the nerve with that barbershop stuff. But yeah. But anyway. Barbershop was great. Yeah.
When I was growing up, it was the hub of activity. Like, you had dudes sitting at the barbershop just to hang out, because that's where you would hang out and just, you know, chop it up. And a lot of it in the black barbershop was talking about sports. One of the best decisions I ever made, man, was I had just gotten on the Cowboys beat. In 1995, 3 weeks into the beat, I was assigned to do a story on the relationship between Emmitt Smith and Michael Irvin. And I was told, bring back something nobody else has because we've written a lot about them. Oh, great. Thanks for the alleged pressure. And so I'm trying to figure out what to do. And I'm trying to chase down Mike. Hey, Mike, I need to talk to you for this story. Hey, what do you think? What do you think? And Mike said, I tell you what, man, I'm running all day. I don't have a lot of time. I'm going to get my hair cut. Let's just pick a time at 1 o'clock. Be there at 1 o'clock. I'll talk to you while I'm getting my hair cut. And I'm like, well, damn. Okay. So he gave me the address for the barbershop. I showed up. Of course, he was late, but he showed up and I talked to him while he was getting a haircut. And I noticed, I walked in there. I would say they had a painting on the wall of Michael and some of his teammates, and it turned out 7 or 8 guys got their hair cut at that particular shop. So you know what happened next, dog. That became my barbershop. Because while you sitting there on a Tuesday, which was the player's off day, you never know which player might come in. Or because I made my, after several months, the barbers got used to seeing me, they knew me, this or that. And so then they would say stuff around me freely, and I was like, oh. And I'm not talking about it was some earth-breaking stories, but, you know, maybe somebody got a new old-school ride, and that led to me doing a piece on players with old school rides, but I just made the barbershop my hangout spot when I was getting a haircut because the players were getting a haircut. Spot name, I don't know what the, I want to say it was Mitch's, is on MacArthur. So, you know, I haven't been there in years, but it was a good time going over there, man, getting ingrained with the players and the barbers and just hanging out because that was a different level of sports talk conversation since a lot of the players went in there.
Gotcha.
You know, but I think the barbershop changed when people's time became, I don't want to say more valuable, but people, something happened with the time because I remember myself as I got to be more of a professional, my time got a little shorter, I had some kids, and then it became like I ain't really got 2.5 hours to sit in the barbershop. I want to roll through like around this time, what you got? And then my homegirl started making appointments. I was like, oh, it's on. You like, I can come in right now and get it? She's like, yeah, just make an appointment. And that slot is yours. Just like women have been doing at the beauty shop for centuries. And I think once you got an appointment at the barbershop, man, I think it kind of lost a little bit of its vibe because ain't nobody just hanging around. You just in there for your appointment, get your hair cut, pay your money and bounce. You know?
Yeah. I think it depends, probably depends on what day also, if you hang out there. But
yeah.
I'd have to ask my boy about that. I know a lot of times on Saturday, we was getting haircuts on Saturday. And it used to be, now that I think of it, it was a bunch of people in there. And they wasn't all getting haircuts, so they got them. And you hear a lot of stuff if you care to listen. A lot of times that stuff was above my head they was talking about. Or if I was sitting in the chair as a little boy, they would change it up a little bit. You know, it'd be different.
I was going to say, I was telling.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, because my mom used to, when I was a little kid, she used to drop me off and ask the barber, hey, James, how long is it going to be? Mm-hmm. You got about 4 in front of you, about 2.5 hours.
Roger that.
So she come back, okay, run her Saturday morning errands and come back and get me. And then, you know, she ain't want to wait, so she throw an extra 30 or 45 minutes on there and make sure I'm done by the time she rolled through.
Yep.
So you spend 3 hours at the barbershop on Saturday, no problem at all on the regular. How often do you get your hair cut back when you was a kid?
Probably once. Well, remember he used to cut it all off. So it'd be so, you know, I beg off and say, hey, can you just not let us, do we have to get it again? Okay, so she is probably say about once a month because I'd beg her to let me keep the afro. Then I ain't want to take care of it, right? And then we'd go through the same cycle. So, you know.
Seemed like I went every 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And then when I got to be an adult, I tried to go every week, but it was hard to go every week. Because I wanted it to look the same. And if you go every week, it kind of looks like you have a perpetual haircut. But I ended up probably going every 2 weeks. Now, how did you treat your son's hair? Did you let them do whatever they wanted to do with their hair? Or did you take your mom's approach where you got to get what I want you to get?
As long as I'm paying, that's what your ass is getting. And I'm a ball fade guy. That was a ball fade because they was trying to do the same thing I did. They wanted all them cuts and all that stuff, but they weren't trying to take care of it. So a couple of times they would go to the doctor. I think I still got pictures from 15 years ago where they tried to get over. Hey, is this haircut good? Does that look like a ball fade to you? No.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, take your ass back in there. Tell them to finish the job. You know, so it's one of them things where, you know, long as I'm paying, you're getting the cut I tell you to get. My thing is this. Look like a gentleman. Look good. Take care of your hair. It's just one of them things. Take care of yourself. You're gonna be better off, so. I just, you know, that was my thing. It wasn't no argument about what you're going to get. Take your ass in there, get the ball fade, come on up out of there.
Right.
Start paying for
it. I was a little more liberal just because I was liberal within rules because my son, very early on in life, I don't want to say early, probably when he got to be about 12, he became very cognizant of how he wanted himself to look and how he identified himself. And so I didn't mind him rocking with it within reason. And I remember when he came, you remember when kids started wearing their hair just kind of wild, like untamed?
Yeah.
And he wanted to rock that. And I said, okay. I said, I don't really get down with this, man, but here's the deal. Now, this is just me, of course. I'm very cognizant of generational stuff. And, you know, your grandparents wanted their kids to do this because that's how they did it. And your parents wanted you to wear this because that's how they did it. And so I always was just like, I'll let you get out there and be with your generation as long as I think it's cool. And so he came home with it. I was like, hey, man, I tell you what. You can rock this hairstyle, which I think is kind of wild, but you can rock it. But you got to go get it edged and lined every week so that everybody knows who you run into that, oh, it's lined and it's edged and it's very neat. So this wild, the wildness you got going is all by design. And so we used to have conversations about that. Because, hey, man, don't worry about what's going on over here. Dave got mad at me because we're going along and tried to jump on me.
That's cap, but all right. That's probably a damn lie.
You should have seen what he just did, boys. If I didn't work out, we'd have had some problems over here. But I bench pressed him back over there.
If you didn't work out, all right.
Hey, I mean, I got to make one workout reference, dog. It's not that bad. You know, now I just flexed. But hey, it happens sometimes. But anyway, dog. So we used to have some conversations about that. But other than that, we never had a whole lot of thing because he ended up firing about 6 barbers, man, until he found one who could follow his instructions. And I took that as a sign that he cared about what he looked like, and he was adamant about you. I'm paying you money. You need to do the job I asked you to do. And he would give you 2 or 3 times to get the cut right. And if you didn't do it right, he'd be like, Dad, is there another barber around here? And he finally found one, and now you know who cuts his hair? One of his boys he went to high school with. And he cuts it, he says, oh, well, now he knows my hair, so this is the only cat I go to, because I don't have to worry about whether he know what I want or not. So anyway, well, I had a good conversation with my boy.
You got to be, I think that's a good deal right there where you got to match up. You got to be presentable when you, and your future is still to be made. And my thing was, pull up your damn pants, get that ball fade, shake a man's hand, look him in the eye. And I remember when he was being recruited, my oldest son was being recruited. I remember one of the proudest moments was when West Point came down to our Army, came talk to him. He said, man, that's the best recruit I've talked to in 6 months. Now, I wasn't letting him go to West Point, but... I mean, I did the service, so he don't have to. Go to college first. Do what you're going to do. If I'd have went to school, I probably wouldn't have been in the service. But I mean, if I'd have stayed in school. But I just wanted him to do... I wanted him to take what I learned. And then, you know, I went through it so he don't have to, put it like that. And I think a lot of servicemen feel like that. You know. So that was my thing. Right. Because he ended up going to a nice school, a really nice school. And just the presentation, you know, the overall presentation. You know, he being himself, but you know, a lot of opportunities going to come to you.
Right.
So, I don't know.
Right.
That's where I felt
That's our trip around the block this week. We appreciate it. Remember to check out the YouTube channel, The Real Jacques Talk. We'll have more information on Jacques Talk 1-on-1, perhaps today. I think the sizzle reel is ready. We're about to drop it so you can see a little bit of what I've been talking about for the last several months. You can follow us at the show on IG at The Real Jacques Talk. Follow me on Twitter, X, at JJT Journalist. Remember, if you think you follow me, you don't. Somebody hijacked my account and won't give it back. And then as a content creator on Clapper, download the app, Clapper. It's just like it's a TikTok format, but we do a lot of cool stuff over there, and I get a lot of videos about my cowboy thoughts and insights. So check me out over there, and, you know, let's see if the Mavericks and can get it done, as well as the Stars. And we get both teams in the Western Conference Finals and make it much more exciting for us for the next couple of weeks. So until we chat again, for Big Joe and the Big Rig, you guys be blessed.